It's great to be back. And now I just, you know, we're here till the cows come home. We're not going too far away now. So looking forward to Wednesday nights. The film, of course, is on this first Wednesday. But after that, the series I'm going to be doing, Somewhere in the City, I think you'll be helped by it. I think you'll enjoy the fellowship and the worship. And it's just a place to be. I said to somebody, I don't care if there's 10 people or whether there's 200 people. I said, it will have a good time because there are people around that have got nothing to do. So we just say, come and crash the party. Just come and join us. Doesn't matter what you're wearing. You just come out of the garden. Just come from work. Just come down and know that on Wednesday night there will be lots of people here and people that are having a good time in the Word of God. Just a couple of things before I preach here this morning. Melody and Sean Newdorf are part of our church. And her brother, Greg, has been in serious, serious trouble health-wise. He came home from South Africa with some type of parasite or something. Anyway, it's just he's been in the his life has been in the balance. And except for yesterday, there was a change and something there that was encouraging. And I thought we should pray this morning for Greg. I don't know him, but we know Melody and Sean. And I thought we'd pray for them as well. And Richard helps. Where's Richard? I saw you here earlier. Oh, he's gone. His dad has gone in for surgery and hasn't woken up. Have we got that right? Is he still?
Yeah, he's still asleep.
Yeah. How long has that been?
Since Tuesday at
1 o'clock. So let's touch heaven on their behalf here today. And there may be others that are here as well that we don't. So if you have a need, you can just pray along with us, but let's bow our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for your heart that you're, Lord, you're just a great God. And we're glad that we know you. And we're glad that we can bring Greg, Lord, to you. Lord, this young man with the young children and heart for you, loves you, wants to serve you. Father, we don't know what this is, some kind of an attack on his life, but they can't find out what's wrong with him. Father, we just ask, in the name of Jesus, Lord, will there be a breakthrough there for this brother? In the name of Jesus, Lord, may he live and not die. Lord, we speak healing and wholeness over him. And Lord, we pray that you would set the captive free. Whatever it is that has invaded his body, Lord, in Jesus' name, we speak to the mountain and we say, be thou removed. And Lord, let healing and wholeness come to him. We thank you for Melody and Sean. Lord, bless them and all the family and Greg's wife. They must be so frightened, Lord, comfort them and give them your peace, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for Richard's father. Lord, we just say, God, bring him out of that coma. Lord, bring him back to the land of the living, we pray. And just touch him. Lord, touch him today by the mighty power of the Lord. And bring comfort, Lord, to all the family's hearts as they're watching this carefully and perhaps worried about it. So, Lord, we just ask, we join Richard in his prayers and their family, Lord. And seeing, Lord, we want to hear a good report that something comes out of this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I was teasing Marcel that I thought he did such a good job. Everybody I heard, it was rave reviews of the job he did. And so I thought I better get back here, job security and all, and get back here as quick as I can, you know. Never know, he might be in my office as I speak. No, I'm serious. I really love Marcel, and I'm just grateful for him, and I'm grateful that God has used him. And that's what it's about, right? It's being used. And I'm grateful for others in our body. Thank you to Alvin for preaching for us, and I heard it was just fabulous. I even heard some of the points, so that's how good it was. Well, if you'll take your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, it's 28, verse 29. All of us, you know, a million times we heard, all things work together for good to those who love God. We know that backwards. That's what we quoted. But we don't read the second part. The second part is what I want to use as a text for the next few Sundays that we are here together on Sunday morning at 9 and 11. So here it is, verse 28. And we know, well, we do, don't we? We know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what we want to talk about. Transformation. life change, Christ-likeness. That's where we want to go with this. I want to build it. The title I've called this is Face-to-Face with the Second Step. I said that I wrote that on purpose because I used to have a T-shirt. Do you remember a guy by the name of Stein used to have these really great T-shirts? And they had wonderful sayings. That I had a series of these T-shirts. And normally nobody ever comments on your T-shirt, right? Not usually, unless it's something really weird. But these were philosophical in nature. And any time I wore that, any of the T-shirts that he made, people would absolutely stop me and say, I just want to see what it says. And what it was a dog. There was a flight of stairs, so just picture just like a crayon or something. It just step like this, right, on the T-shirt. So just, and this dog has his head and his face pressed against the second step.
And it's like this, and he's against the second step.
And it says on the bottom of the T-shirt, face to face with the second step. And people would say, what the heck does that mean? I said, well, everybody knows to say, take the first step, bro. Take the first step, right? Make sure you take the first step. You know, you take the first step. It's not the first step that's the killer. It's the second step. What am I going to do now? Where do I go to next? How do I handle this whole thing now? So people could relate to that. And I wish I didn't wear those T-shirts right out. I'm telling you, you would have all bought one if you would have seen it. It was a great T-shirt. I think my wife finally threw it away. Wore it too much. Here's the question. What is God's purpose for his people? That's a great question. What's God's purpose for you? What's God's purpose for me? I mean, the big purpose. See, the majority of us here today have taken the first step. Maybe not everyone, but perhaps the majority, I would suspect. The majority here today are converted, born again. You invited Jesus into your heart, and there was something good that happened. We often say that the best thing that ever can happen to us is Jesus. And so that probably happened to you, I'm assuming. So we're converted. That's a step. That's a first step. That's not a second step. That's a first step. Saved. We use that term still. No one else in the whole world probably uses it, but we talk about being saved. And so being saved is not second step, it's first step. Inviting the Holy Spirit to come into your life and empower you. That's not second step, although we made it. Many times in full gospel Pentecostal circles, we say deeper teachings on the Holy Spirit, and it's about the baptism of the Spirit. And I've often maintained the baptism of the Spirit is not deeper truth stuff. That's baby stuff. That's elementary stuff. That's first step stuff. So you get saved. You open your heart to the Lord. Forgiveness. That's not a second step thing. That's a first step thing. So it's one of the first things you do. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to get baptized. Hey, five people are going to get baptized. That was my privilege to meet with the gang. Great, great people. And I was thrilled. I went home happy. Really happy that you guys are getting baptized. And it's going to be a good afternoon down there. So, but that's not second step. They're face-to-face with the second step, but that's first step. And we encourage everybody to take that first step. But here's the question. What's next? Is that it? What's next? What's beyond getting baptized and being filled with the Spirit? What's beyond it all? Where do we go from here? Right? We say, you probably in your mind checked it off. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I received the Holy Spirit. Yes, I've been baptized. Oh, good. I'm in. But what I'm worried about is not only where do we go from here, but why is it that very few people, hope I'm not being too harsh, but very few people change that much. And some people, after many years later, still haven't changed. Now, if there were changes, they're minor changes. Where you used to go to, before you didn't go to church meetings, you went bowling, now you go to Wednesday night meetings. It's different, but not that different. See, that is a great question. Why do so many people not grow to become Christ-like? It's a very little change. Why is that? I think what there is, this thing exists, what we could call the normal Christian plateau. You know, you launch well. Somebody tells you about the Lord. You come to a church or you go to a youth group or something. You hear about Jesus. You know it's more than a meeting. as more than just a swear word, that Jesus means something, and you open your heart to him, and you know, wow, you're glowing. Everybody says, whoa, what happened to you? I became a Christian. Oh, boy, did you? You know, not everybody's happy about it, right? But you know it's different, and everybody else knows there's something different about you. Something has happened in your heart, and something about your face, but we just know. Haven't we seen it? Said, you see, so something happened to me. Yeah, something happened to me. So, and then you're launching. Next thing you know, you went to a youth retreat, and you got filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're speaking in tongues, and you're prophesying, and just great things happening in your life. And we see that, and you want to go to the mission field, and just, and so it's like this. When it's growing, right? We're launching. It's a little, you know, it's a little bit like that, but we're doing it. And you say, wow, this is really great. Now, my question is, what happens with that? How come that seems to go away after a while? And pretty soon, it's same old, same way. We know, you know how I'm going to end this service. You know what I'm going to talk about. I've probably, talking about living in a long, one place in a long time, is that the longevity kills all the good jokes. You have to go 200 miles down the road to tell a good joke because everybody rolls their eyes. They tell that thing so many times. So if I'm on, you know, go away on holidays, tell the jokes so they're still fresh to everybody. But you saw what I'm saying is this is how familiar you can be, that you're part of the program, you support the small groups, you go to Bible study, you show up in membership class, you serve at a funeral, you do all kinds of things, which is all good. But what about deep change? What about transformation? That my wife, that she'd say, I can see you're growing. Because here is the question. Are you growing? Just between the honesty of your own heart. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Say, well, not as much as either side of me. No, just in your own heart. Are you growing? That question will take you somewhere. That question will put you on a path of growth and transformation that you will be absolutely amazed with. You see, it concerns me why some people are the same. It's not that they've been saved for 25 years. It's like they've been saved for 1 year multiplied 25 times. Right? It's just not a lot of difference. Matter of fact, we could say, you know, we didn't like you that much before you were saved, and now you are saved, not much, you know. It's not really all that much change. In other words, attitudes haven't changed. Direction maybe hasn't changed. You're still stubborn. You're still resilient. You're still biased. You're still prejudiced. You know, tell me, that's what the churches are known for, prejudiced, biased people. How does that happen? How did it happen that we get labeled like that? Because the reason why it hurts, because you know and I know that there's all kinds of Christians like that. They go to church, they're faithful, they're good people, they love Jesus, but there has not been any measurable growth in their life for years and years and years. See, my great fear, I just turned 63. You know why it's disturbing? I've never been this old before. It's pretty good. So far, it's okay. But it's guys say, whoa, 63. Well, everybody I know is 63. They're pretty old. What encouraged me was the picture I saw of myself at the funeral. Well, briefly encouraged me. I didn't recognize myself. I didn't know that was me. It's 1990, and Glenn and I are baptizing Cindy. And I've got the goofiest glasses on. Those things look like I could be flying an airplane or something, those giant glasses. But the glorious thing was the beautiful brown hair. Look what they've done to my hair, right? What happened? Well, there's been some changes there, I'll tell you. That's for sure. But the glasses had to go. There's no doubt about that. But what I'm saying is we see change physically. But here's what I'm worried. 10 years from now, Lord willing, I want to be stomping on giants. I want to be taking territory. I want to be pressing in and reaching out and being loving. I want to be known as a gentleman. I want to be known as someone who cares. How's that going to... See, somebody say, well, he really knows his Bible. And what? To what end? Right? So you know, well, he understands prophecy. Good. We're not against those. None of these things are good or bad, and all of these things have a place, right? But not if you're not growing. Our leadership. Everybody knows this, that we've said this many, many times. The fish stinks from the head down. It always stinks from the head down. So in other words, it always starts with leadership. Whatever problems in the church, it's always a leadership problem on some level. And so if so, we as elders and the pastoral staff, boy, I'll tell you, we need to be growing so that everybody else in the place is inspired. So those people are really growing. They're not just some kind of spiritual bureaucrats. They're not just people running the program or leading us, but we can see Christ. We can see how they're changing. Be it ever so small, right? It's not necessarily big changes all at once, but that's always suspect. See, I always worry about the zap. We always say, come forward, God's going to touch you and change you and zap. And I'm grateful. I have spent wonderful times in my face on carpet over the years of my life thanking God for that touch that night. But you know, you get up in the morning, then you got you again. So I have to fit again to God's purposes. So we can ask some questions. You say, what's next? Where does it go from here, from being saved, from being spirit-filled, from being involved in a church, which is, again, all good. But would it be, could we more relate to the famous statement of the Westminster Shorter Catechism and simply say, this is, again, the next step, simply say, man's chief end is to glorify God and join him together? Yeah, I guess that's part of that next step, to glorify God and join him forever. Mm-hmm. I like, that sounds, it's pretty good, right? That's one. That's a goal, but it doesn't quite satisfy. So, or we might say that the next step is simply the famous five words. You know the famous five words? Love God, love your neighbor. And we say, yeah? Yeah, that'd be pretty. That's the next step, right? Love God, love your neighbor. Love God. And the rest of your life, just loving God, love your neighbor. I think that's good, but I don't think it's wholly satisfactory. So in my own heart, and my own spirit, as I will declare what I think is the next step. And here it is, that God wants his people to become like Christ. That's the journey we're on. There, I've said it. And I'll say it again. Christ-likeness is what we want more than anything else in the whole world. Christ-likeness is the will of God for the people of God. That's what we say. What's God's purpose for you? He wants to change you. He wants to change you, folks, in the balcony. You're not to go on and say, well, same old, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. It can't be that, but it will be that way. Unless you change your approach to how this thing is lived. You will be face to face with the second step 25 years from now and say, you know, I never quite got that. I was faithful, and that is, of course, you know, you meet people and say, are you a Christian? Of course I'm a Christian. I was in the choir for 25 years. Okay? Or, I'll have you know that my father was a deacon. I'm sure that's helpful on some level. But, it's not really what we had in mind. But what about what God would do? See, we're to become like Jesus in so many different aspects, and I'll bring these out in the weeks ahead, but in his incarnation. In his service, in his love, his character, his mission. That's the part that we become like that. So we, and I say it carefully, we become like little Christs. But I say it carefully because I don't want to, that could be wrongly put. But that's his plan, is that you would become, that people who have not seen Jesus would meet you and your kindness and your care and your love and your sacrifice for them. Would say, it's like I've seen Jesus. I've become Christ to that person. I wasn't thinking of me. I wasn't dwelling on me. But God worked a work in my heart that now I care about people more than I care about me. See, that's powerful. And that's where we want to go. I believe that's where God wants us to go. Meanwhile, you know, winning souls. And we've been working on this fall kickoff for September, October. And it's going to be, we always have such a good time with that. And I can't tell you anything about it because it's not perfected yet, but Marcelo on his holidays is going to get a revelation, and we'll go with that. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to be on his holidays, but we got an idea, and I won't tell you about it, but I'm saying it will piggyback on this. It will spring off of this, and I think we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time launching the fall program as we try to do that each year. But the question is, God's purpose is to make us like his son. And my point is that no matter what we have, whether we have fellowship out here, whether we have newcomers nights, or whether we have an outreach evangelism, or we have worship, whatever we do, folks, the goal has to be transformation, not information. Not knowing more, but being so turned around in our hearts and our lives. So it's not a matter of trying harder, which I would take the pressure off. You say, oh, now we've got to grow. Yes, but it's not up to you, that part. It's not a matter of trying harder. The Christian life is not starting out with Jesus and then graduating to something better. It always starts with Jesus. And there's no such thing as advanced Christianity. There isn't. There is no such thing as advanced Christianity 101 or 701 or 801. Every person who begins their Christian life begins it with everything they'll ever receive. It's all resident in the Lord, in our lives. If you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, very powerful. 2 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, all that, if I say, okay, Lord, here I'm putting my skis in the right direction. I want to grow and I want to change and I want it to be ongoing. All my life I want to be a growing person. Don't want to be a stagnant person. Don't want to be a stale person. Don't want to be somebody locked in some other time zone where I'm longing for the 60s. I want to be in the now and in the loop. But that will not happen unless I deliberately say to God, God, I've got to change. And you're the one. And now he won't say, okay, now get your act together, waiting for you to change. No, he said, all that you need is wrapped up in me. As you focus on me and behold me, you will become like me. I think that's a promise that we can go to the bank with. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18, in the light of, he said, all things have been given to you that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, it's not about you, it's what God has supplied for us. And then Peter can't seem to stand. It's the last verse of Peter, of 2 Peter, verse 3:18. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Grow in the knowledge of his grace so that you not only understand grace, but you live grace. That's what he said. So grow in that. Are you growing in grace? Are you more tolerant? Are you easy to live with? Here's the spirit. Are you fun to live with? Because I think that's part of it. I think when people meet us, they say, you know, that. And to be pressing on so that there's a depth to our church and a depth to our life is a good direction to go with. So every person who begins this thing to know that God says, he's not saying, okay, I'm throwing you out now, learn to swim. He said, I'll provide the life jacket or everything else that you might need. So the next Sundays, we're going to be talking about taking the second step, about growing in grace. That it's not a matter of our becoming bigger and stronger and better, but of simply getting out of the way and letting the Lord deal with you and opening yourself. So if you say to the Lord, Lord, you spoke to me about growth. I don't think I'm growing. I don't think I've grown for a while. I've just been doing the same thing. So, but I invite you to transform me from the inside out. And I may be scared about that, so Lord, I just ask that you would just fill me with courage, but I don't want to miss one promise that was regarding my life. See, to me, wouldn't it be a terrible thing? We're all going to heaven. If we know Jesus, we're all going to heaven. So it's a free ticket for sinners. You knew that, right? If you're a sinner here today, which you're in good company, first of all, but if you, heaven is just, there's nothing to pay for getting into heaven. Jesus died for our sins. And if we believe that and receive that, we are accepted by the Lord and we are his children. And so he's happy with that. So our fear is that we won't measure up or something. So we're walking with Jesus and he has his arm around us and we're walking along in life. And Jesus says to us, could I have a word with you? Yeah, go ahead. Would you like to be changed? And I get nervous. I thought you loved me just as I was. I thought I was accepted in the beloved. I thought that this was how it was supposed to. I didn't know it. Now I knew this was going to. I knew the shoe was going to drop, And now I was in, you know, you're in. Oh, okay, now I got to tell you the real truth. No, Jesus said, no, you don't know. I love you. If you never change one little bit, if you never read your Bible, if you never go to church, and you love me, serve me. I mean, he said, I'll leave you where you are. If you don't want to grow, that's okay. But he said, I'll always love you. You'll always be my beloved child. So let's get back to the conversation. Would you like to change? I accept you where you are, but I want to take you to here. Wow. So you still love, I love, it's nothing about my love. It's not about acceptance. It's not about gaining points. It's not about going to heaven. It's about letting the Lord invade our lives in a deeper level. So it's not just meetings and things that we do, but there's real change and growth. And I think if we say, okay, but this is kind of scary. I'd rather stick in my old Christian plateau, been there for years, you know, and then, right? There are people that their testimonies are old, right? If you say to kind of testimony service, every story they tell you is more than 15 years old. I've been in those meetings. And it's not that stories aren't good stories and precious to that person. But don't you have another story? How about we thank God how you got saved, and we thank God for the transformation, you know, that took place, that you're going to heaven, and we love you and we're glad you're part of it. But every time you hear it, there's nothing present happening. It's all in the history. My best years were back then. Oh, by the way, you know, I think I can look over the last 40 years of my life and I can see growth periods where I think I really grew during that time. I would suspect this, that as we look at some of those things, that it'd be the same for you. You've been in growth periods before, that you really were growing. You really were on cutting. God was just working in your life and changing you. And you can look back and say, yeah, that was a good period. You know how it's often in periods, right? It was that last year or 4 years ago when you were part of something and part of a Bible study. But that we have to say, okay, that was then. You can't live on a memory. It's got to be vibrant and real and the Spirit coming on us and so that we mature. That's the thing, to mature in the things of the Lord. This Christian life is not a subject to be learned. It's not to say, okay, now we're going to give you 17 things. You know, we could do that, but you'd have information, but not necessarily transformation. So it's not a lesson to be learned. It's a life to be lived. That whatever the situation in our lives, that is where you will have to grow in Christ-likeness. I'm simply saying, God's already got the scenario. You're in it. Whatever you're in it. Richard and Kim, that thing in your family, that's where this thing starts, in your own hearts and lives. Say, Lord, just draw us close to you. We're so worried about our family member, but God, we just ask you to touch us, draw us close to you. See, he's not doing some new thing down there, just the things that are happening in your life. That's what God will start using. You know, and your mother-in-law's coming, you say, I say, this might be an opportunity that God's teaching me some things. Restarts patience, right? There will be all kinds of things, but the situation in our lives, that's where you will grow in Christ-likeness. The question is, can we grow in spite of our personal failures and sins? Yes, oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, often through my failures and my sins is another opportunity for God to do a work in my life. You know, where I didn't respond very Christianly. It was very fleshly and very carnal. So, yeah, don't wait till you're perfect, because it's not going to happen for a while, before you allow the Lord to take you on this journey. So as we focus on what God is doing in the midst of what we are doing, raising a family, running a business, let the Lord work in that situation. Invite him in. Say, Lord, this is what I seem to be called to do. Can you transform me in this setting? I believe God says, yes, I'll use that setting very much. If you look at the book of Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews. There is a great Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. You know this quite well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That will be part. We'll talk about that in the days ahead. And sin, which clings so closely, So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's kind of what we're talking about. And here's the phrase, looking to Jesus. Gazing at Jesus. That's, is it looking on, how's this race going to work? How's this transformation going to work? Look to Jesus. Now, that's not a trite phrase. That's exactly what we do every day. Look away from ourselves, and we simply fix it, whatever you're going through in that family, in your business, in your love life, every other area. Just say, God, just start working in me. Whatever, use it, whatever you want to use in my life. If we focus on ourselves, the result is predictable. Because I know people say, I just like to talk about my feelings. No, I don't want to hear about your feelings. I mean, I they're precious to you, but because is it what I'm just, I need to understand me. I need others to understand me. I know where this is going. As long as you're looking at you, it's really predictable. Same with me. Can I talk about my pain with you? Yes, probably the right setting, but mostly no. Because we'll end about talking about your pain. I mean, there may be a place for some prayer in that. Now, I don't want to overstate this, but Christ-likeness will come. Growth will come as I fix my eyes on the Lord. Turn me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. No, that's not right. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 13. Listen to this. Until we all obtain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. See, from infancy, step one, moving up to childhood, just be no longer children tossed to and fro by every doctrine, everything that's happening. You're here, you're up, you're down. He says, move from childhood, infancy to childhood to mature adulthood. That's the goal. That's the goal. And you keep on verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head. By the way, speaking of speaking the truth in love, it's not like you think it is often. I have many times spoken the truth in love and got such a rise up of anger. How dare you judge me? I speak in it. See, sometimes people just speak truth and sometimes people just speak love. And we're to speak the truth in love, but always be prepared to lose the relationship. So if I spoke to you about growth and say, you know, I just observed this, or the Lord should share this with you, and you kind of bristle and you say, you know, trying to control my life. So he says, speak the truth in love, but be prepared. You can lose the relationship. The person gets so angry that you pointed out something in their life. Instead of saying, boy, I'm glad you shared that with me. I didn't realize that's what was happening. And I, you know, it's always awkward to somebody point something out. But I tell you, folks, I'd rather have somebody point something out in my life that I can keep growing than kind of locked in some kind of a denial that I just can't grow. It's an awful thing to stop growing. It's that stagnancy. You know, even your hallelujahs sound old. Hallelujah. You know, it's just, oh, that's an old hallelujah. That's caught a cold in that. Right? So, because you're in a routine, you do the same, you lift your hands the same, everything is the same. It's not that that's not precious, but the question is, are you on a path of growth? And if not, would you like to be on one? So he says in Ephesians, verse 19. Oh, just a second, I lost that here. Here we go. Oh, to grow up, here we are, to grow up in every way into him who is the head, from him whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, and every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself, and makes the body grow. You see, as I ask God to transform me, the church begins to be transformed. And as you ask the Lord to transform you, so the whole body of the Lord is transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. My last scripture here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is a really interesting, verse 18. Verse 17. Break it in there. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Let me give a quick understanding of that. This morning, when Randy and the team were leading us in worship, I was beholding the King. I was beholding the Lord. We could have kept going as far as I was concerned. I just, when he was singing, you know, the Lamb of God, I will arise. And I'm in, as I was singing along, but worshiping, knowing this, that I was, as you look unto Christ, as you look unto Jesus, and you're just focusing on him, Lord, I love you. I want to be in this thing here you're doing. The glory of the Lord is increasing. You see, that's the power of that. From glory to glory, but beholding Jesus. You don't look around. You look only to the Lord. And the time you spend with him, you focus on him. And we say, that's why we worship. We're not worshiping to have a song service. We can have a song service. We've got lots of good music. It's not that. We're worshiping. Number one, we're giving God honor and praise because he's worthy of it. But we're also announcing to the kingdom of darkness, believe me, the kingdom is pushed back when we worship. Many don't understand that. But we worship, A, to give God praise because he's worthy of it and demands it of us. But secondly, is that there's warfare going on. So when we say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, we sang it over and over. Why? Because we know the enemy force, the demon forces, the territorial spirits, the spiritual forces in dark places, we push that back through our worship and through our praise. There is purposes here that are amazing, huge things going on. And we do that. But mostly, it's that we just want to look at him and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. I want to follow you. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. And so I'm here in your presence. I can do that at home, but it's good. You know, this helps us at home, doesn't it? So we say, we sang to the Lord, and you go home and you meet with the Lord in the mornings or whenever you do. And it's a very powerful thing. But we're transformed, he said, from glory to glory. Not all at once. But I know this, that if you enter into deep worship and you open your heart to the word and you tell God you don't want to stay in the same place, it's time for change. I was reading in Deuteronomy. You know how you pick a book to read through? Well, I'm reading in Deuteronomy. And this is what the Lord says. 38 years they've been going around this mountain. And the Lord says to them, he says, in several places, he said, you've been at this mountain long enough. That's great. You've been at this mountain long enough. Arise. Take your possessions. That's what he says. Arise. Take your possessions. Rise up. You've been going around long enough. Now it's time to take the land. Wow. That really spoke to me. And I said, Lord, I want to take the possession. I want to possess my possessions, right? I don't want to get to heaven. And the Lord said, you know, I promised that for you, but you never did run with that. And I brought you into that teaching, and you never did too much with that. And all of a sudden, these promises are dropping to the ground. Listen, I believe God has promises for you, promises for me. It has to do with my life and the purposes of my life. And my prayer, and I'm sure it's yours, would be, I don't want one promise to fall to the ground that had to do with me. That he said, I couldn't because you were stubborn. Or you chose wrong. You made wrong decisions. You didn't follow me. And I, you know, that was a promise for you, but only all promises are appropriated, right? We appropriate it to our life. So I'm saying, God, whatever gifts you have, if you're giving out gifts, if Simon's not using his gift, then give it to me, right? If I'm not using it, somebody else. But I want to use all the gifts that God gives. I want to press in. Don't you? I want to be a threat in hell. I don't want to be some church guy. I want to be a giant slayer. And I can be. If I say to the Lord, Lord, don't leave me just where I am. I'm grateful that you love me where I am, but take me where I've never been before. Wouldn't it be great if this next season of being together at Valley Church, if we just, little, you know, things that are happening and people yielding. And I know we're not all going to be transferring. You know, it's like a machine. You step in here. I saw the movie Captain America. Us skinny guys like movies like that. When they put him inside that container, and he's a skinny guy, and scrawny, and weak, and then, of course, the thing blows up, and as you knew it would, it has to blow up, right? And the sign, they're all running for cover, because they put too much juice into it, and then the door is open, and this muscle guy comes out. It's really depressing, actually. But I was with Marcel, and he said, where do I get one of those machines? I wish it could be that way. One mature member in the body, step into the machine, you come out there and you're just powerful. No, it's little trips in there maybe that we'll have to do. But I do believe that you will take ground. I believe that you'll grow. And people will gently say, you know, that they used to be kind of harsh, or they used to be kind of know-it-all. You know, these are difficult things to live with. But they're signs of how much we've grown, right? So we're going to say, God, we're going to put ourselves in a place where we give you access, where you can work in us and you can change us. There'll be challenges. It's uphill and bumpy. But I'll tell you, it's better than sitting still, sidelined by the side of the highway, and everybody else is on the freeway, and you're out of gas on the side of the road. Oh, I'll tell you, that's an awful place. Where you could be growing. And there will be things that are painful. I think growth is not, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's painful things because it goes against, some things go against what I want. And so I yield to that, and that's a little difficult to accept some things, right? But as you do that, you become more grace-filled, more love-filled. And we're not going to say, okay, I'm going to be loving, and everybody's there. No, it can't be that. It'd be awful. You can't try to be humble. You can just yield to the one and behold him. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more people will notice. It just is true. And I've often seen, because I get the privilege of seeing some of that stuff up close, I say, you know, I can see the Lord in your life. You have your Father's eyes, right? I can see Jesus in you. And that's a powerful thing. So I'm going to close. This is the Trinitarian morning prayer. Now, we're not going to check. I'm not going to phone you, see if you prayed it. But I like, you know, before there was a world, before there were stars, before there was anything, there was a Godhead. There was a Trinity. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, I want to make you all one. So that there's got some things regarding that for us in the days ahead. But I think you never go wrong when you call on your Heavenly Father, when you call on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's the triune God, right? And as you call on the Holy Spirit, because I want a Trinitarian experience. Do you want a Trinitarian experience? Then if you do, then that pleases the Lord. So here's how it goes. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Just get out of bed. So your feet hit the ground, or you get your coffee and you do your bathrobe around you, and you go into your wherever it is you meet, and you sit down with your coffee, and you could pray this prayer, and knowing that I'm going to pray this prayer. And I thought, what would happen if some of us took this kind of seriously, and for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, we just in the morning time, we just read that prayer over our lives. I think I told you this one time, there's this young guy I knew, and he told me he was starting his prayer life. He was a brand new Christian. And I said, well, how did you pray? Well, he prayed actually a bit like this. He said, well, I said, good morning. He said he thought it was getting kind of busy up there. He said, first I heard about God, then I heard about the Spirit. He said, how many people are there that I need to know? I said, well, I said, how do you pray? He said, well, I pray, good morning, God the Father. Good morning, God the Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Satan. I'm up. And it won't go well with you. And I said, that's a beautiful prayer. That's a beautiful prayer. So this isn't quite as colorful, but good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus Christ. There's one God. Don't confuse yourself. There's one God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I worship you as the creator and sustainer of the universe. You may each day you do this, you may want to spend some time. Just, Lord, you made it all. I bless you. there might be verses that even come to your mind about that, but I worship you as creator and sustainer of the universe. Lord Jesus, I worship you, Savior and Lord of the world. Holy Spirit, I worship you, sanctifier of the people of God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that I might live this day in your presence. Oh, man. Let's pray that together. That's so good. Live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Yeah. Been around this mountain long enough. Time to take up my cross. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. And holy, blessed, gracious Trinity, three persons in one God, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to, here it is, to live your life in me and through me this day. That's a prayer of just saying, I'm making myself available. I want to grow. Now, I'd say this to you in all fairness. I'd like you to grow here. I'd like you to stay here for about 30 more years. Then I won't care after that. I'd love you to stay here. Why? So I could see you grow. So you could see me grow. It may be that God will move some people to Fraser Valley. You know, job will open up and we say, oh, no, hey, you can grow anywhere. We just hope that you grow here because it's so exciting. So, you know, growth takes best in a group of people to know that we're all desiring, that we're unhappy with our churchianity and we want to really move into Christianity. We're tired of just being, you know, just going through the motions without God radically changing our hearts and our lives. How many believe that there's an anointing for you available? There is, isn't there? There's an anointing of God available to you, available now. There's an anointing on me. I think every time your life divides into things, to me, I'm on a new journey a little bit with desire that God wants me to take some territory, just personally in my life, and I'm going to do that. Why? Because the alternative is unbearable. It's just unbearable. I don't want to be bored. But I will be bored if I'm not growing. Right? If I'm not growing. And so, face to face with the second step. Where do we go from here? To be conformed to his image. That everything that we do now begins to, our goal by, whether we're evangelizing, we want to see people become like Jesus. Whether we're having Bible study, we want to see people become like Jesus. We're having fellowship, we want to see people coming out like Jesus. So whatever I'm doing, sitting down at Starbucks, I meet somebody, what's my prayer? I may pray for them, may witness to them, may share my heart with them, and they share their heart with me. But my mind is that I'm really here because God wants to conform me to the image of his son. That's his plan for the whole world. That everyone in this world would become like his son. So it starts with the church, starts with us. So, wow, so powerful. Let's stand together. I've said enough. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Shalom. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's the best thing ever. Thank you, Lord. He's the best thing ever. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your patience and grace and blessings in our lives. Lord, I'm sure you must wonder about me whenever I'm such a slow learner in so many ways, and yet I know lots. But I thank you for wanting to work in my heart. And you're excited about it. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are excited about working in everybody's heart here. This is what you want to do more than anything else. Lord, we thank you for the first step where we got to know you. Now we want to yank it up to another level. We want another realm. We went away, Lord. We want to become like Captain America and go about rescuing people and delivering people from bullies. So, Lord, I know we can't structure this thing. We can't force it. We can't have some superficiality thing about it. It's got to be the work of the Lord, the work of the Spirit. So we say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, glorify your name. And I pray in the weeks ahead as we head for September, Lord, that this will be just a wonderful, wonderful insight. Lord, bring insights to people that they'll share. Maybe they'll share some of that stuff. Of Lord, of how to take that second step, and then the third and the fourth is all the other steps you have for us. But Lord, we've been at this mountain long enough, so thank you for journeying with us and giving us people to encourage us. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We pray, Lord, that as the candidates ready themselves now to go into the waters of baptism, I pray the Spirit of the Lord will rest on each one. And I pray they'll come out of that water and the dove of the Lord will be there. Oh, thank you, Lord. Spirit of the Lord, fall fresh on these really super young people, young adults. Thank you for them. Lord, bless them, we pray. Thank you, God. Will you use us, Lord? Will you use us this week? Will you place us in strategic places? And we just submit ourselves to you. We love you. Amen. Amen. Here's what we want to do. There's a prayer team people. There's a prayer team here. And nothing would please them more today than to lay hands on somebody. You know, prayer people are that way, aren't they? They just love it. You don't tell a need, they'll lay hands on you just like that. It's what we want. So if you have a physical need or a financial need or a spiritual need or you're depressed and discouraged, I just invite you to come and we'll have some people here that will pray with you. And if you don't know Jesus, we would be glad to pray with you that you could come to know him as your Savior for the first step. That'd be great too.